Pleasure seeing you all. Just delighted to be with you. Would you turn to Hebrews chapter 11? Hebrews chapter 11. I'd like to read the fourth verse of Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts, and by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. I've entitled this message, Can a Sinner Be Righteous? Can a sinner be righteous? Now, before we can answer that question from the Word of God, we need to do some definition of terms. What does the Bible mean by righteous? Righteousness in the Scripture is a perfect standing before the holy law of God. If you're righteous before God, that means you've never told a lie. It means you've never had a covetous thought. It means you've never committed adultery, no, not in your heart. It means you've loved God with all your heart and your neighbor as yourself. Righteousness. I'm not talking about a righteousness that many people have before the law. They haven't been caught. The law recognizes them as not guilty, but they haven't been caught. Now, those people are not righteous. The only righteousness that the Scripture recognizes is perfect obedience to the holy law of God all the time. Now, what does the Bible mean by the word sinner? Well, a sinner is the one who commits the sin. You've heard preachers say, God loves the sinner. He hates his sin. Where's that in the Bible? God doesn't put sins into hell. He puts the ones who committed those sins into hell. A sinner. A sinner is somebody who all they do is sin. A sinner is somebody who cannot not sin. A sinner is somebody who cannot look down their nose in moral superiority at anybody. They know they're worse. A sinner is somebody who has no claims on God. If you believe you're a sinner, that means you believe that if God saved everybody in this room but you, He would be just. He would be holy. And you have no reason to object to Him. You have no claims on God because of your sin. Now, how can somebody like that be righteous? Is it possible? Now, in our text, we read, By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God made this testimony concerning him. And by it, he being dead even right now, is yet speaking. Now, it does not say that righteousness was imputed to Abel, although it was. It does not say that Abel was viewed as righteous, though he was. It does not say that Abel had a legal standing of righteousness before God, although he did. It says Abel was righteous. He was a righteous man. He was personally righteous. And this was God's testimony of him. He obtained witness by God himself that he was a righteous man. God testifying of his gifts. The offering he brought made him righteous. The gift he brought that God gave him was righteousness. God was testifying of that which was real. Abel was righteous. Really righteous. You feel that way? How do you feel? Abel was righteous. So righteous that the living God looked at him, and the scripture says he had respect. He, God, had respect to Abel and his offering. Abel was righteous. You see, God only respects righteous people. Now, would you listen real carefully? There are only two kinds of people in this world. The righteous and the wicked. Only two. An interesting fact. All of the righteous, without exception, believe themselves to be wicked. And all of the wicked, without exception, believe themselves to be righteous. Or at least they have the potential to be righteous. Now, the first time this word righteousness is used in Scripture, it's a reference to Noah. God said regarding Noah in Genesis chapter 7 verse 1, "Thee have I seen as righteous before me." Now, if God sees Noah as righteous, you know what? Noah is righteous. Now, in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, God saw that the wickedness of man was great upon the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, nonstop. Was Noah included in that group? Yes, he was. Yet, God says that Noah was righteous. And God doesn't play games when he makes statements like that. If he said Noah's righteous, Noah is righteous. In Romans chapter 3, verse 10, we read, "There is none righteous, no, not one." And I see it. And I feel myself to be very evil. Yet I know from the Scriptures that if I am a believer, I, in my person, am righteous before God. And I pray that every believer in this room is going to be enabled by the Spirit of God to rejoice in the fact that they are righteous before God. God terms people the righteous. "Say ye to the righteous, it'll be well with them. Say ye to the wicked, it will be ill with them." Now, if I'm a believer, just like Abel, just like Noah, I am righteous before God. How can that be when I know I'm a sinner? How can that be that I stand without guilt before God, that I stand perfect before God, that God's law looks at me and finds no guilt. And the reason it finds no guilt is because there is no guilt. And yet, in my own experience, when I look at myself, all I see is sin. How can that be? When God says, what is man that he should be clean, and he that's born of woman that he should be righteous? Behold, he putteth no trust in his saints, and the heavens are not clean in his sight. How much more abominable and filthy is man that drinketh iniquity like water? Can that man be righteous? Yes. A sinful man can be truly righteous before God. And here's how. Now, I'm going to give you 5 points. And all 5 of these are necessary for a sinner to be righteous before God. First of all, righteous by union with Christ. Second, righteous by imputation. Thirdly, righteous by gift. Fourth, righteous by nature. And fifth, righteous by faith. Now we're going to consider each one of those individually. First of all, righteous by union. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 2. Now, I believe that this is, I don't know what else to say, this is the biggest doctrine in Scripture. Union with the Lord Jesus Christ. And here it is, verse 11. Hebrews 2, verse 11. Both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For the which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren. The Lord is not ashamed to call me his brother. Because I am one with him. Not merely close to him, but one with him. You see, the elect have always been in the Lord Jesus Christ, united to him. I've always been in Christ. There's never been a time when I've not been in Christ. Eternally. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. Now, if I'm one with Christ, that means who he is, I am. Where he is, I am. What he did, I did. Is the Lord Jesus Christ perfect before God's holy law? Then I am too. 1 John 4:17 says, as he is, so are we in this world. That means right now. Is he perfectly righteous? So are we. Now John says, herein may we have boldness on the day of judgment. That as he is, so are we in this world. 1 John 4:17. Now what will give you boldness on the day of judgment? There's only one thing. Perfect righteousness. Union with the Lord Jesus Christ in him. This is all you can do is proclaim it. You can't much explain it. I can't really explain how I've always been united to Christ. I can't explain how I've always had personality and existence before God. I can't explain that. I don't understand it. It blows my mind. But it's true. I'm in the Lord Jesus Christ. As he is righteous, I'm righteous. Let me show you a scripture in Romans chapter 5 that I think illustrates union with Christ. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world. That's talking about Adam's transgression. As by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all had his sin charged to them. Did I read that right? Didn't read that right, did I? Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. When Adam sinned, personally, I did too. It's not just that his sin was charged to me, but I didn't do it. No, I did it because I united to Adam. Whatever Adam did, I did. When he sinned, I sinned. His sin wasn't merely charged to me, I committed the sin. That's what the passage of Scripture says there, doesn't it? Romans, he says, in that all have sinned. When Adam sinned, I sinned. Just as truly, everybody in Christ, when he obeyed God's holy law, I did too. That's my righteousness before God. Every believer is righteous through union. Always have been righteous. Always have been. Has Christ, how long has Christ been righteous? That's how long I've been righteous. Righteous by union with the Lord Jesus Christ. Second point is righteous by imputation. Turn with me to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Beginning in verse 6. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Oh, the blessedness. How blessed by God is that man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Now, you and I don't really have any idea how bad we are. Don't even have a clue. You believe that about yourself? Now, however bad you think you are, it's worse. I'll assure you, it's worse. Sinful. Full of sin. And everything you think about yourself, it's true, only worse. But here's the believer's hope. Everything I think about myself, it's worse than I think. But here's my hope. God does not impute my sin to me. He doesn't charge me with it. It's all true. And worse, but the God of glory does not charge me with my sin. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord will not impute sin. And in whose spirit there is no guile. Now here's my hope. God doesn't impute my sin to me. He doesn't charge me with it. My sin was placed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. It became His so that He actually became guilty of it. He was guilty before God. And His perfect righteousness, His innocence, becomes mine. My sin becomes His. His righteousness becomes mine. And I am righteous before God by imputation. My righteousness, my personal righteousness, is not based upon the righteousness of Jesus Christ. My righteousness is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. His righteousness, Isaiah 54:17 says, their righteousness, their personal righteousness is of me. This is that fine linen, clean and white, the righteousness of the saints. Well, what is the righteousness of the saints? The obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in Romans chapter 6, turn with me there for a moment. Romans chapter 6, verse 11. Likewise reckon, and that word reckon is the same word that's generally translated impute. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves. Believe this about yourself. Don't just believe the doctrine of this. Believe this about yourself. Here's a true biblical self-image. Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's only one reason why God would tell me to reckon myself to be dead indeed to sin, because I am dead indeed to sin. Sin has nothing to say to me. It's all been put away. I stand before God as righteous. Righteous by imputation. Thirdly, righteous by divine gift. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift, of righteousness, shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Now, righteousness is called the gift. And that word carries with it the idea of the free gift, the causeless gift. The reason's not found in you as to why God gives it. The free gift of righteousness. Look back at verse 15. For not as the offense, so also is the free gift. And look at that word free. That means no cause in you. God does not have to find a reason in me or you to give it. It's a free gift. Is that good news? Thank God for that. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, his obedience, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Now what is justification? Not guilty. If I'm justified, that means I never sinned. His righteousness given to me freely. I'm justified. I've never sinned. Remember, Abel was in and of himself just as sinful as I am. And just as sinful as you are. But yet God gave him the gift of righteousness. What's the evidence that you've been given this gift of righteousness? You receive it. That's what the evidence is. You receive it. This comes as good news to you. You receive it. You welcome it as good news to them that have received abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. Do you receive this? There's no merit in receiving. You just take what's given to you by the grace of God. You're mighty grateful you got it. That's the evidence of Him giving you this gift. You receive it. The gift of righteousness. And Abel was righteous by nature. This has to do with being made a partaker of the divine nature. This is what the scripture calls the new birth. Being born again. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. By the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Now here's the doctrine of it. Turn to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 29. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Look in chapter 3, verse 6. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. What's that mean? What's it say? It means you don't sin. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness, what? Is righteous. even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin. He lacks the ability to sin because he is born of God. Now, obviously, that's talking about the new man, the new creature in Christ Jesus. Born of God, it does not commit sin. When God saves a man, he's given a new nature, a holy nature that produces holy actions. Be ye holy, God said, for I am holy. You can only be holy if you are holy. Holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. Now here's a powerful scriptural example of what I'm talking about. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. What about Brother Lot? If it wasn't for this passage of scripture, every one of us would say that Lot was not saved. Wouldn't you agree with that? That's what we'd say about him. I mean, there just wasn't much to him. He lingered in Sodom. After God delivered him, he lingered. He wanted to stay there. He pitched his tent toward Sodom. He stayed there. The angels had to yank him by the hand and pull him out. You know what happened after he went into the cave with his daughters and so on. I mean, this man was a scoundrel as far as what we see. And I don't want to justify anything about this man. But look what God says about him. And God sees things as they really are. If this is what God sees, this is the way it is. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 7. He delivered just Lot. Vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that, what? Righteous man. Dwelling among them and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. That's 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. This is God's testimony regarding this man, Lot. And God's testimony is the right testimony. I'm not excusing any of Lot's wrongness. I mean, we're not trying to do that. But still, this is what God says, because when God saves somebody, that person is a righteous person. If God has saved me, he's given me a righteous nature, a holy nature, the new nature. And you're looking at a righteous man. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their heavenly Father. Every believer is a righteous man. Now here's my big question. How can I know that this is so regarding me? How can I know that I've been eternally united to the Lord Jesus Christ? How can I know that the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ has been imputed to me and it's mine? How can I know that he has given me this gift? How can I know I have this righteous nature? Because let's be honest, I feel the effects of this righteous nature. There was a time when I didn't believe the gospel. I do now. There was a time when I had no love for God, and I do now. I feel the effects of this righteous nature. But as far as seeing, oh, righteousness, yeah, I see that. No, I don't see it. Don't see it. I really don't. So how can I know that I actually have this righteous nature we've been reading of? We'll turn to Romans chapter 4. verse 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. Do you believe on him that justifieth the ungodly? Do you believe that God is able to make you righteous before him when in and of yourself you're an ungodly sinner? Do you believe on him that justifieth the ungodly? Let's go on reading. It says, his faith is counted for righteousness. If I believe, that means faith itself is counted as righteousness. I've missed it. Faith is not my righteousness before God. Jesus Christ is my righteousness before God. Faith didn't keep the law. Christ did. Faith believes that. Faith didn't die for my sins. Christ did. Faith believes that. Faith is not seated at the right hand of the Father as my great high priest. Christ is. Faith believes that. So that is not saying that faith itself is counted as righteousness. Well, what's it saying then? Because it says, to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Well, what in the world does that mean? Well, faith is defined in the Scriptures as the evidence of things not seen. Now, I cannot see that I have been eternally united to the Lord Jesus Christ. What's the evidence that I am? Faith. Right now, while I'm talking to you, I am relying upon Him as my righteousness before God. I can say with Paul the Apostle, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed to him. What have you committed to him? The salvation of my soul. Hands off. I don't have anything to do with this. Hands off. If you hold on to something, you fail to commit. You commit when your hands are off and you're completely relying on him. I know whom I believe, and I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. What is the evidence that I've been eternally united to the Lord Jesus Christ, that I've always been in him? One evidence. Faith. Do you believe the gospel? Do you believe he's able to save you? What is the evidence that the righteousness and merits of the Lord Jesus Christ has been imputed to me? How can I know it? One way. Faith. Faith in Christ. I believe him. And that is evident. That is the evidence. Remember, faith is the evidence of things not seen. I can't see that I'm perfectly righteous before God, but I know I am. And the evidence is faith. What is the evidence that God has given me this gift? How can I know God's given it to me? Faith. Whoso believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Take it for what it says. Faith is the evidence that God has given you this gift. What is the evidence that I have this righteous nature that does not commit sin? Well, because I'm doing so good? No. The evidence is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you believe the gospel, you have this righteous nature. The only reason you believe the gospel is because you have this righteous nature. Believe the gospel. Believe what God says. Faith is counted for righteousness. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. In Romans chapter 14, verse 17, Paul said, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness. Righteousness. A perfect standing before God's holy law. Having never sinned. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness. And you know what flows from that? What to say next? Peace. The only thing that gives me peace is knowing that I am perfectly righteous through the Lord Jesus Christ. That I stand before God perfectly righteous. I get peace from that. You know what comes next? Joy. Joy. Oh, the joy and the peace of believing. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, Paul said, oh, that I may win Christ and be found in Him. Not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faithfulness of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Can you get hold of that? Paul says, oh, when God comes looking for me, there's only one place I want to be found. In the Lord Jesus Christ. No other answer. In Him, I'm the very righteousness of God. And in Revelation chapter 22, would you turn with me there, verse 11? Verse 11. He that is unjust, unjustified, unrighteous, let him be unjust still. And that one will spend eternity unjust. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still throughout all eternity, suffering God's wrath. What's it say next? And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. You're righteous right now, you die righteous, you spend eternity righteous. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Now this is the heritage of every child of God. Believe the gospel. Believe that you are the righteousness of God in him. Doesn't the Bible say that? For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made, what? The righteousness of God in him. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Yes, a sinner can be righteous. A sinner, all sinners who believe the gospel are righteous before God. Let's pray.